this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, like you go, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's November 5th, 2024. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. Thanks for commenting. You could be doing so many other things right now. We know there's a lot of other more important things going on, but we appreciate you hanging out with us to talk some Purdue basketball and venting with us about some Purdue football. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house. Webby, what's going on? Thanks for getting us the W to start the basketball season last night.
Yeah, it was good to be back. It was a fun night. Much more fun than Saturday.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I heard my father was in attendance in Mackey last night, and he was surprised how revved up it was even before tip-off.
Yeah, I got in like right as they were getting ready to do the starting lineups. Yeah, it felt pretty juiced up. You could tell people were excited for basketball to start for good reason.
Sure, sure. That and the banner, the unveiling of the banner. You know, they showed that on Big Ten Network and all that, and they showed the whole Purdue hype video on Big Ten Network.
So did they?
Nice. Yeah, it's been a while since, last season, of course, but it's been a while since I paid attention, I guess, to the start of a game on the Big Ten Network. So, yeah. You'll have to carry us when we talk in the basketball portion of the podcast, because I was doing another podcast I do right during the game, so I only got to watch in full concentration about the last 7 minutes, which was a good time to do so.
Yeah, because
Purdue kind of took over the last 7 minutes. So, and then I'll handle most of the football conversation because you were supporting your sister-in-law at the semi-state volleyball. So, let's start with football. Purdue fell yet again. Records now 1-7, 0-6 in the Big Ten.
So you're telling me we can't make a bowl now. That's what you're telling me.
Correct. Oh, 26-20 in overtime to Northwestern Wildcats. Just disappointing. Disappointing game. I mean, Purdue found themselves down 10-3 after the first quarter. I think that's the thing with this team I just can't figure out. Every game, first quarter just is awful. Just awful.
This is the first game we've scored in the first quarter since Indiana State, hasn't it?
Trying to think back in my head. I think you might be right. But then it looked like it was going to be 17-3 going in the half, but Purdue scored late. Hudson Card found Jamal Edrin in the corner, who had a good game. Both Hudson and Jamal, I thought, played well. Third quarter, not a lot going on. Purdue got a field goal. Northwestern, nothing. So it was 17-16 going into the fourth, and then Purdue outscored Northwestern 7-3, and then in overtime, Purdue got the ball first, threw it. I think they ran it once, but in any case, two incompletions. Then it was 4th and 6, and instead of trying a 38-yard field goal from the right hash, Ryan Walters and company decided to go for it. Tried to hit C.J. Smith over the middle. Defender made a good play of the ball to bat it down. Mm-hmm. And then Northwestern actually got a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after the play was over. So they had to start from about the 50 instead of the instead of the, 25, 30, whatever it is. But two plays later, they were in the end zone. So didn't really matter. So I still don't understand. I understand, Or I know Ryan Walters came out and said, haven't had good success from that hash, kicking field goals, but still, it's a 38-yarder. Porath can make a 38-yarder. And you kick a field goal, assuming you make it, you have the lead, then you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
you get a fumble, you get an interception,
you win
the
game. It puts pressure on them. Yeah, at least puts pressure, because now it's like, they could run a few plays, and depending on how good their kicker is, the pressure's kind of off, because at worst-case scenario, I guess worst case scenario is you throw a pick six, but I mean, how often does that happen in college overtime? Right. You could be conservative and, you know, kick yourself and miss it, and you go double overtime. But yeah,
right.
Yeah, I'm curious because I mean, obviously I was not able to watch the game. I was falling on my phone. But if, you know, going for on fourth down was going to be the choice, yes. I know we talked about this in our group chat with Andrew. Like, why not try and set yourself up for a little better play on third down? Because I think we threw it on third down. Is that correct?
If I remember correctly, yeah, I think we tried to throw to Maccabee, and I thought he got interfered with, but they didn't call anything.
Mm-hmm. At least, like, try if you run it, you know, at least try running to the left to try and get more of exactly. a straight on shot just, or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's such a head scratcher, and I think it just comes. I mean, once again, you got your head coach, who's a defensive minded coach, calling offensive plays, and his inexperience mm-hmm. showed up. But I wish this was just the one instance you could point out like this, yeah. but it's not. It's not. You know, there, even if it was fourth and three, maybe you could talk me into it.
Yeah.
But fourth and six is asking a lot.
Yeah, it is.
And I felt confident going to overtime. I really thought Purdue was going to win the game going into overtime. Mm-hmm. I thought Purdue was going to win the game when they got the ball with, I think it was a little like, under 2 minutes left or 2 minutes left, maybe. But it was three and out. Then Northwestern actually had a shot at the end, yeah. even through a Hail Mary. And I just kept, sorry, Willie, but I just kept saying, yeah. Bat it down, don't pull the Bears. yeah, but a lot of missed opportunities this game. I thought the offense did play pretty well. I know they only scored 20 points, but Hudson Card showed why he's QB1 for this team. Mm-hmm. 21 for 37 for 267 yards, one touchdown, zero picks. Ryan Brown was 3 for 3 for 15 yards. Ryan was definitely holding on to the ball a lot longer, trying to generate a bigger play with Hudson. It seemed like wanted to get the ball out of his hands. And for the most part, I thought the offensive line held up pretty well in the game. Ground attack was not there. Maccabee led the way with 36 yards on 10 carries. Mm. Did have one touchdown, which was real impressive because it looked like that play was going nowhere. It was going to be a stop of four progression. He just kept the legs moving. Reggie Love, 5 carries for 13 yards. Hudson, 6 for 12. Honestly, don't remember him running that much. And Ryan Brown, 2 for 8. Max Clare led the way in receptions with 6 receptions for 78 yards. Jerron Tibbs at 4 for 56. C.J. Smith, 4 for 55. Jamal Edrin, 5 for 54 and a touchdown. Drew Bieber, 2 for 20. Devin Maccabee, 1 for 13. Shamar Rigby, 2 for 12. And Reggie Love, 1 for 2. I also should point out that Shamar Rigby was 1 for 1 passing for 8 yards. We ran a trick play in the red zone that ultimately led to Maccabee getting in on the rushing attempt.
Nice.
So, and then defensive-wise, let's see here. Does it give me defensive individual statistics? There's Northwest. Oh, here we go. Purdue. Dylan Thiedemann led away in tackles. No surprise there was 6. Antonio Stevens had the one interception on the day, which was an awful, awful throw by Northwestern's quarterback, Lausch. He missed the receiver by – no, that was actually Ryan Helinski. Excuse me. I forgot he came in for 4 attempts. But Lausch went 23 for 36 for 250 and a touchdown. Helinski was 2 for 4 for 52 yards and a pick. Purdue didn't get the quarterback very often. Will Howell had 1 sack. Kedron Jenkins and Cole Brevard had a half sack each. Actually, Will Helts was a tackle for loss, not a sack. So Purdue only had 1 combined sack. It's a half sack for each guy, which Northwestern had 1.5. Nope, 2 sacks, 2 halves and a 1 on the day. So, just disappointing. This was definitely a game Purdue could have had. And, you know, you look at the overtime loss against Northwestern, the overtime loss against Illinois. You get those two, then you're 3-5, still not great. But you have 2 conference wins, and I don't think the hot seat is as hot as it is right now.
Potentially, yeah. It's – going into the year, it'd be, you know, we were expecting 4 to 5 wins. A lot of people were anyway. So if you're 3-5, you've got to, you know, at least one more potential winnable game with Michigan State. I think that's probably about it right now. But
yeah,
I would take 3-9 a heck of a lot more than take 1-11.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Look at our schedule. Fox Big Noon this weekend. Fox Friday night next week, which if Michigan State, I mean, they're reeling too. It looks like, yeah. Oh, wow, what a Friday night matchup. And then CBS 3:30 the following week. And then you got to think there's a good chance Indiana could be national game. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, geez. And Cameron Day here on Facebook asks, how many more games do we have to lose to fire the entire staff? Please, God, put us out of our misery. Four games left. They haven't done it yet. They're not going to fire the head coach. You're going to have to wait until after the Bucket game. I mean, that's yeah. if a move is to be made, it'll be made after the Bucket game. Yeah. And if a move is to be made, depending on how the next three games go, maybe we know heading into the Bucket game that Ryan Walters is going to get fired. I really don't know. Don't know what's going on inside the walls of the athletic department. Can only see what we read, I guess, online and everybody, I think, just speculating and guessing. You know, at this point, if you gun to my head, I think he is gone. I think Saturday probably did him in. But I will, and this might not be a popular statement, but, you know, it's out of my control. I'm not a big enough donor. I can't do anything about it. So I've just come to conclusion, if Ryan Walters is the head coach next year at Purdue, I'll support him. I'll cheer for Purdue like I always have and always will, no matter what, no matter who the players are, who the coach is, who the coaching staff is. And if he's not, I'll support the new guy and cheer for Purdue like I always have and always will. So that's just how I'm looking at it. I mean, you know, maybe in the next coming weeks, if we start hearing more clear rumblings, then maybe we can start talking about possible coaching candidates. Yeah. I know Boyle Sports did a good job last night. B-Dowd kind of put out 5 or 6 guys, actually, that he wouldn't mind seeing. And I did like his list. Mm-hmm. So you can go check those guys out. But it's just not fun. It's not fun because I don't think getting rid of a coach after 2 years is the right way to go about a program at all. But this is the drop off from year one to year two has been pretty unbelievable.
That's probably just been the most, it's just, flabbergasted, really. It's just like, didn't see any of this coming. Like, it'd be one thing if, like, you know, we saw some of this last year and it was just like, oh, okay, this is just not, you know, they just didn't have it. But, like, we ended the year feeling pretty good. I mean, obviously, we had the blowout against Illinois. We beat Minnesota. You know, could have had the game against Northwestern, had card played. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you beat Indiana to keep the bucket. And, you know, you get a good transfer class on paper coming in. And, you know, hey, year two, you know, that's when things start, you know, guys are been in the system a little bit, you know, Hudson Card, year two of the offensive system. And it just feels like they did nothing all offseason. That's kind of what it feels like. They just did nothing.
Yeah, and, you know, I was really keen in on the defense with my own eyes there at Ross State on Saturday.
Yeah.
And the defense does give up tons of third and longs, like 3rd and 12, 3rd and 15.
Yeah.
But I really think it's because of the lack of a pass rush.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because I think the defense is built to not stay in coverage that long. And then guys get open. I mean, Kaijan Jenkins does what he can. Will Helt, I still think Will Helt's going to have a really good career. I just think he's not ready yet or not there yet as a sophomore. Yeah. I think it just points out the loss of Nick Scorton that much more.
Yeah.
A guy they had to worry about, double team at times, open up opportunities for other people. And that's why we saw more interceptions and things last year. You know, Dylan Thiemann last year had, 5 or 6 picks? This year he has 0. He did drop one the other day, which might have been tipped by his own teammate right before. But, I think I know our offense has not been good at all. Don't get me wrong, but the defense has disappointed me more than the offense. For a staff that's supposed to be defensive-minded or a head coach is supposed to be defensive-minded, the guys just look lost. And really, you know, my wife was pointing out the other day, there's a couple guys on defense. I'm not so sure they take plays off.
Yeah.
There's a couple out there that, for instance, trying to make a tackle at the 5, the guy's probably going to get in after already running 45 yards, but at least dive, at least make an attempt and pull up and slow up, just a lot of things like that. And, you know, that's what my wife and I were talking about yesterday. She's like, that's the biggest red flag to me is there's a lot of guys that aren't, to me, trying hard. And that's and could be indicative to the coaching staff, which, you know, I mean, Walters is saying that the guys are still bought in, but what else is he going to say?
Right.
mean, he still seems like a confident dude, but it's like looking at the schedule, I don't know how you can remain confident in these next four games. It's
oh yeah, I mean, he had the comment after the game where he told the guys, like, you know, it doesn't feel like it, but like, I think we're close. I'm like, close to what? Like, yeah. That's my question. It's like, I mean, we haven't really been close except for like a few games, and
yeah,
that's just so frustrating.
But yeah, and then like I said, you get the Northwestern game, you get the Illinois game,
which
Illinois should have had, really.
Yeah.
Northwestern game could have had, and then the one that really hurts also looking back on is Oregon State, just because they're not very good.
Yeah.
And you know, if ifs and buts, you know, if we don't fumble in the red zone, don't throw that fluke pick six.
Yeah.
The punt return fumble doesn't get overturned. Then maybe that game's different, but you can't sit here and say ifs and buts. Every team could do that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. It's yeah. I mean, I love football is my favorite sport, and I love college football. But yeah, these four games, and also it's just indicative to who's left on the schedule, and knowing it's just gonna be a slaughter the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, talking about
it's just not even fun to look forward to.
I mean, talking about how bad the defense is, like looking at who we have left, like it could be, I mean, it's going to get a lot, it could get a lot worse, and probably will get a lot worse in terms of statistically, it could be like one of the worst defensive seasons in Purdue football history. Just because, yep. Like, I mean, just obviously Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana's put up a million points a game.
Well, all three of them need style points. They're all three in the, you know, in the projected playoff as of tonight, which was the first one that was released, but they got to keep it going.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
Yeah, it just sucks because this was the most hyped I'd been for a season like in a long time, by far. It's not
fun going through another coaching change. Yeah. I don't like coaching changes, and you know, okay, say Purdue does make the move and fires Ryan Walters or somebody else, they better hit on the next hire. Because you can't be doing this another 2 years from now. You can't. Yeah. You're not going to be able to.
Yeah.
Say the other guy has five wins through a 1-3-4 season. You're going to have to keep him for year three. He can't keep doing that. So, and schedules aren't going to get any lighter with the new Big Ten. So, and how Purdue schedules a non-con, even though next year they do have Southern Illinois and Ball State, as well as Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. So. That should give whoever is the coach should be two wins there, but you never know. But I don't know, man. It's just depressing. It's just a bummer.
Yeah, it really is.
But shout out to the crowd. Crowd showed up again Saturday. I even texted you guys like right before kickoff. I'm like, bad crowd.
Yeah.
And you look up like, 10 minutes later and it's filled in.
Yeah.
So it was a beautiful day. Weather was great. Maybe the fans thought this is the last chance they could see a potential win.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it's going to look like in 2 weeks. Penn State, you know, part of me is like, well, they've showed up the other five games. Maybe they'll show up one more time. It is senior day. You are going to see a top 10 team.
Yeah.
But I could see the flip side that everybody's like, it's going to be a murder.
And depending on how the weather looks, I mean, you never know if it's looking like it's going to be, you know, kind of a cold, wet day. It's like, why even waste time going?
True.
Yeah. It was unfortunate.
I Mouse said first time to see Purdue under the lights at all, but no, Oregon was under the lights. That's right.
Yeah.
I already forgot about that game. Already put it out of my memory. So, it was nice to see CJ Smith on the field. Oh boy. I'm sure he wishes he had that first play of the game over. He burnt the defensive back. It wasn't going to be a touchdown, but it was going to be a good 45-50 yard gang. Hudson threw the ball, hit him right in the hands, dropped it.
Mm-hmm.
But he made some nice plays, used him for a nice screen one time late in the game. I thought he hurt himself. He went into the blue tent. I'm like, oh, great. Hurt his hamstring in the third quarter, but he came back. He's still listed on the as part of the ones on the depth chart. So he is only a sophomore. I keep forgetting that. I keep thinking he's a junior.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be nice if he can stick around because he definitely fast. You saw that the other day. He caught that Northwestern defender by surprise on that first play. That was and they put him in motion too. So I'm like, this could go CJ in, and then boom, ran a little go route. So I did think the wide receivers played pretty well. I think they're starting to come on a little bit. And like I said, this was Hudson's best game since Indiana State, but wasn't good enough to get the win. And I just laughed like when we walked to our car after the game, heard multiple people why in the hell are they playing Hudson Card? He is not the quarterback to play. It's Ryan Brown all the way. I'm like, you know, I like what Ryan Brown can do, especially with his legs, but Hudson throws
it out of the arm.
Yeah, he gets it out of his hands quicker too, out of his hand quicker. So I don't know. I don't know. It's, and you know, one thing I did look at, I looked at the depth chart pretty closely when Tom Dienert released it yesterday, and Purdue is a lot younger, especially on offense, than I realized. We are playing a lot of freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah.
So that could be, I'm sure that's one thing Ryan Walters would bring up, trying to save his case, make his case. But I don't know. I think you and I both have been, we've backed the guy up, but it's, it's hard for me to do that after Saturday.
Yeah. That was the game where, you know, and I don't know if it was even possible. I was really hoping that Purdue would come out and kind of just, you know, after a bye week or whatever, just come out and wait, did we have a bye week last week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did, yeah. And just come out and, like, you know, step on their throat or something, like punch them in the mouth and, like, do something. Yeah. And it was just kind of same old, same old. It was just so disheartening of, like, oh, my gosh, like, it's obviously they just don't have it. And if that was the case, like, my thought was, like, if Purdue, like, won going away, like, okay, maybe we can, you know, potentially have the conversation about, you know, bringing him back if a lot of changes are made. But the fact that it was, you know, had to scramble to even get it to overtime, and this is a bad Northwestern team.
Yeah, they're not good. There's still a chance they make a bowl, but they have to win two of the last three.
Yeah. It just shows that this team just doesn't have it.
Yeah, looking at team stats, Northwestern 19 first downs compared to Purdue 16. Rushing yards, Northwestern 122, Purdue at 47. That's net yards. I didn't realize Northwestern actually ended up outpassing Purdue 302 to 290. So total offense, Northwestern had 424 to Purdue 337. Purdue's last place in most of the stats. That's why they were last place in the win column the other day. So, yeah, not good. It's not good at all. And it's not going to get much better on Saturday as the Oilers travel to Columbus to face the number 3 Ohio State Buckeyes, a team that Purdue has a bad record, historic record against, 15 wins, 42 losses, 2 ties. In the horseshoe itself, Purdue's only won 5 times, lost 26 times with 2 ties. At Ross City, they're 9-16. Not near as bad. Purdue has lost 2 in a row in the series, 41-7 last year. Ross said 59-31 in Jeff Brom's final season at Purdue. Actually, that was 2021. Excuse me, not 2022. 2021 season in Columbus. The last time the Boilers won in Columbus, you got to go back to a 31-26 victory on October 15th in 1988.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So, I mean, they've had some close ones over the years. 2012 overtime, 29-22 loss. And then 03-16-13. I thought that game was overtime, but it's not showing it. 16-13 loss in 03. It's a house of horrors for Purdue. And many teams,
but
it's not good. Not good. And Purdue's 37.5-point underdogs right now. It's the largest line in Purdue history. I believe one of the other larger lines was a 34-point line against number 2 Notre Dame back in the day. I think that was that in the 70s or 80s? I think it was the inaugural game of the Hoosier Dome. So
do you think it balloons that was. Up to 40?
What?
You think it balloons up to 40?
Maybe 39. Maybe not 40. I don't know. It's embarrassing. And it wouldn't shock me for Ohio State to cover that spread at all. But I'm interested. What is your spicy bowl prediction for this game? buddy of the pod, Aaron Lynch, said his bowl prediction is Ohio State pulls their starters after one quarter. I said, that's not going to happen.
No.
I
I'll say Purdue's winning at one point in the game. Maybe if it's like three.
That's very bold. I don't care. That's very bold. I will go with Purdue uses trickery to score a touchdown. That's one thing constant we've seen since Ryan Walters has been the play caller is he throws some gadget plays in there, something Graham Harrell never did. So,
yeah.
Because there was another one the other day where we flipped it like three times, and but then nobody was open. I think Ryan Brown ended up running, if I'm not mistaken, on that play, or Hudson's, whoever was quarterback. But Hudson Card is QB1 for Saturday. Yep. Sounds like Ryan Brown will be used a little bit, but there's no or on the depth chart. That was a very odd strategy the other day. I thought Hudson 2 series, Ryan Brown 2 series, and it kind of frustrated me after taking Hudson out for 2 series because I thought he was in a little bit of a rhythm.
Yeah, so he was playing pretty well. Yeah.
And then you could tell after one series that, even though it's not really not fair, only one series, but you could tell after the first series that Ryan Brown had, maybe they should go right back to Hudson, but they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, if that's what you tell your QBs before the game, you can't really go back on your word. But just a really weird strategy that I hadn't really ever seen anybody try.
Yeah.
And probably for a good reason. Ted Berkey on YouTube, why do our next two games have to be on national television? Because of our opponents.
Yeah, I would welcome a plus game.
Oh, absolutely. They're in the thick of the playoffs. They're big national brands. That's the only reason. It's got nothing to do with Purdue.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's I mean, at least maybe the Michigan State one in a couple weeks won't be maybe a beatdown. But that's national television, too, on a Friday night. So, oh, boy. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I'm just.
Yeah, it's. I mean, not much to say. Just end it. Like, just get to the end of the season and let's just figure it out from there.
Yeah, we've been doing this podcast since 2018.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we've talked about a lot of losses and you know, a few difficult seasons, 19 and 20, if you want to count 2020 as a season. Yeah. Nothing like this though. This has been tough.
At least like 19, you could point to like everybody and their mother was getting injured. And it was like, and still, you know, we played, you know, the Bucket game close when that was
one of his best overtime.
Games. And like we were playing it was a walk on quarterback, walk on running back. It was Horvath was a running back at the time. Like, David Bell was a freshman, Karloff was a freshman. Then we still it went to overtime, right? That game went to overtime.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And if Milton Wright catches a pass in regulation, Purdue probably wins that game.
Yeah. So at least we had that, and you had like, okay, it was just like, you know, just a lot of bad luck, but this is just it's just bad.
Yeah, it is just bad. It's just bad. It's very disappointing. Will be an interesting next few weeks.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way. Let's go ahead with the score prediction for the Purdue Ohio State game. Then we'll go down the list of Big Ten and top 25, then talk about something fun. A lot to a little.
52-7.
Jeez, that's I can't even. Yeah, I'll keep it pretty close here. 49-10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't.
I thought about giving us 10, but I was like, could we string two scoring drives together?
Gotta take a look at trickery, but
yeah.
I will say, and I'm not, you know, I like to think we are a glass half full podcast.
We are, yeah.
So I will say this, but it's not gonna happen. But I will say this. Stanford under Harbaugh was a 41-point underdog when they won at USC, when USC was a juggernaut. Crazier things have happened, but
let's be honest. It's college football.
That was also Jim Harbaugh on the headset, not Coach Walters. So
that is true.
Around the Big Ten, we are back with the Friday night games because, you know, everybody's like, why wasn't there a Friday night game? Well, they were hoping there was going to be a Game 6 of the World Series. There should have been a Game 6 of the World Series, but that's for a different podcast on another day. Iowa Hawkeyes, 5.5-point favorites at UCLA, who pulled off a nice little upset win at Nebraska.
It's hilarious. Give me the Hawkeyes, though. Hawkeyes have, I mean, their offense has been.
Their offense puts some points, man. They're
actually fun.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch for the first time in two decades. So
it's also weird not watching them as much because it's no longer the Big Ten West. So, you know, constantly just kind of focusing on who, you know, on our division. So just that's one team I just have completely lost focus of. Was Iowa, but
That's a 9 o'clock kick time, Eastern time. Yep. Minnesota, you know, we make fun of, we give PJ Fleck a lot of flack on this podcast, but he's going bowling. They're 6-3.
Yeah. After travel really rough.
Really rough start. They're 6-point favorites at 4-4 Rutgers.
Give me the Gophers. I mean, Rutgers after starting off kind of hot, they've both just gone opposite directions. Yeah, give me the Gophers.
I agree with you. Defending champion Michigan Wolverines 5-4 travel down to number 8. I just threw up my mouth. Bloomington to take on 9-0 Hoosiers, who are 14-point favorites. 3:30 on CBS.
If you told me Indiana was favored over Michigan by 14, I'd be like, it's football season, not basketball season. What are you talking about?
Yep.
Oh man, I can't believe it. But I think Michigan doesn't have an offense. I mean, maybe their defense can slow Indiana down, but I mean, no one's done it yet. I think Indiana wins. I think they cover barely.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to Saturday, assuming Indiana does not lose to Purdue, which oh god, that would be just glorious.
At this point, as I told you, I'm getting worried they maybe beat Ohio State just because of the way they put up points.
Well, and I'm assuming they're going to lose Ohio State because it's at Ohio State and they haven't beat Ohio State in general since the 80s. Well, Indiana does have a bye week next week, but I don't know. Bye week could optimistically thinking slow up their momentum a little bit. But assuming they lose to Ohio State, beat Purdue, it all comes down to this game Saturday. Mm-hmm. I realistically think if Indiana beats Michigan and all those other events happen that we just spoke about and they're 11-1, I think they're in the playoffs.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But if they go 10-2, I don't think they get in.
Yeah. I saw something on Twitter today that someone asked why they were ahead of BYU. Because BYU
strength. Yeah. It's hard to figure. Yeah.
But they said it's because of the way that they've looked and how they just like obliterated everybody. So, like, that's what the one thing where I'm like, man, could they sneak in over somebody? But I don't know. But the committee's all over the place with things like this. So you never know.
Yep. Yeah, I just feel like with their schedule, 10-2, they would take a different 2-loss SEC team, maybe even a 3-loss SEC team. That might be stretching it because there's a lot of other good teams out there who probably won't have 3 losses. But, yeah, I think it comes down to Saturday. Can't believe it. I never, ever thought. I mean, we're jealous. They're living
the pipe dream right now.
They are living the pipe dream.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, like, we, like – I mean, I heard both sports kind of talk about like kind of like a Final Four. Like you think you know it can potentially happen,
yeah.
But you just kind of like you won't believe it until you see it, and now it's like holy crap, they're actually going to do it.
I mean, the Big Ten championship appearance was fun, winning the West, but that was at 8-4.
Yeah.
And you know, even the year Purdue made the Rose Bowl, won the Big Ten, they had 3 losses.
Yeah.
They've never done something like this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Maryland is 25.5-point dogs at number 1 Oregon.
Oregon covers.
Yeah, Oregon's really, really good. Reason why they have number 1 beside their name.
Yeah.
And Washington's 5-4, traveling across country to take on number 6 Penn State, who's 7-1 and a 13-point favorite. Night game, Happy Valley.
This is a night game, but Ohio State wasn't.
Fox Big Noon overrules everything.
Yeah. Does Penn State kind of have a little like letdown after a disappointing loss?
It's a game they should win, so James Franklin will win. Yeah, it's games they're not supposed to win, and he doesn't do it.
Yeah, they'll win.
Yeah, I think Penn State wins. Yep. Yeah, remember at the start of the season that I said that I thought Penn State was our best chance at an upset?
Yep.
Yeah. I was gonna get that back.
Oh man.
But it should be close. Hey, if it's trending in the right direction, Notre Dame was a killing. Oregon was a killing, but not as bad as Notre Dame. So we're trending in the right direction.
Yeah. It will score against Penn State. I don't know.
maybe. Around the top 25. This is weird still that this is a conference matchup. 4-4 Florida at number 5, 7-1 Texas, who's a 21.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Florida game was it Georgia?
Georgia,
It gave them a game. You wonder if old Billy Boy is going to keep his job down there. I still don't think. I mean, They've got at Texas, home against LSU, home against Ole Miss, and then at Florida State.
What a gauntlet.
Could go. I mean, I could see maybe, like, can they catch an Ole Miss? I don't think they'll lose to LSU. I don't know. That's a – I don't know. Texas. I think Texas.
Man. Yeah, I think Texas wins. Florida's interesting, though, because I know Anish on Bullet Sports was saying that they're kind of strapped for cash down there.
Yeah.
So
wild.
Yeah. Number four, Miami, who survived a scare for most of the game against Duke. 9-0 at 5-4, Georgia Tech. Miami's 11-point favorite.
Give Miami to cover.
Yep, I agree with you there. Number 17, Iowa State. Bad home loss to Texas Tech.
Really bad loss. There's
3-point favorites on the road against a 2-6 Kansas team that was ranked at the start of the year.
Give me Iowa State. Iowa State's now in that. I think they have to win their conference championship to make the playoff now. I mean, or BYU's, where they at? They were in the, ranking.
They're undefeated.
Yeah, so could they, you know, if they go all the way and lose in the championship game, I would still think they probably get in. Iowa State's now fighting for their life.
My fear is things break Colorado's way and they get in the Big 12 championship and win it.
Totally forgot about Colorado. Yeah. Tanner's doing
just,
well.
It's just hell for me.
Yeah.
Football 24. At least Illinois is starting to lose a little bit, but still, they beat us. So, does Army stay undefeated? They are 5.5-point favorites at North Texas.
Yeah, I think so.
That would set up a fun showdown. They still got 2 weeks till Notre Dame. Notre Dame plays Virginia next week. Never mind. Speaking of Notre Dame, we'll fast forward to their game. 7:30 at night, number 10 Notre Dame, 26.5-point favorites against 1-8 Florida State. Can we get Florida State on the schedule? Is it too late?
Yeah. Actually, I know someone who's going to this game. I was like, man, probably when you bought tickets, it was probably a hell of a game.
Oh, yeah. That looked like it was going to be their premier home game.
Yeah. Notre Dame, I think, wipes the floor of them.
Yep. Number 2, Georgia, 2.5-point favorites at number 16, Ole Miss. This should be a good one.
Is this a game where the loser is officially out of the college football playoff? I mean, I know Ole Miss is on the outside looking in already, so if they lose, they're definitely out. But if Georgia loses twice, do you think?
And they still play Tennessee, too.
Yeah.
That's where it gets hairy. Yeah. I don't think – I think Georgia wins, so I think Georgia have to worry about it.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
This game is actually intriguing. Never thought I'd say this before the season. 5-3 South Carolina, who just beat Texas A&M, at number 24, 6-3 Vanderbilt, who is a 3.5-point dog at home.
Yeah. Man. Well, I'm trying to find it. I can't even see it on my score
thing. I'll take Vanderbilt. Why not?
Yeah, why not? They're a fun story. Give me Vandy.
Number 11, Alabama, 3-point favorite at number 14, LSU. Loser of this game is definitely out.
Loser of this game is definitely out. Give me LSU, and then, man, Caleb DeBoer's seat probably gets a little hot.
I'm right there with coach. You. I don't like the guy, but Brian Kelly can win some big games.
You win some big games, yeah. And that's probably arguably the toughest place to play in all of college football.
Yeah. Number 9, undefeated 8-0 BYU at their rival 4-4 Utah. BYU is 4-point favorite.
Give me BYU.
Yep. I'd feel better for Utah's chances if Cam Rising wasn't out. But he's out for the season. So he's trying to get another year, I heard, of eligibility, which would be his 8th season.
Good Lord.
It's like, dude, just move on.
Yeah.
Just move on at this point. So that's going to do it for the part of our program that wasn't so fun to talk about, football. But before we switch gears and talk about basketball, I want to let you all know about one of our great sponsors, and that is Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom is a proud sponsor of the Boiler Breakdown, and they've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever Evan and I visit, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, by trying out their latest pizza of the month. This is our first pod in November. It's hard to believe we're in November already. So we got a new pizza of the month. We got the Mad Scramble. Alfredo sauce topped with scrambled eggs, bacon, diced potatoes, red onions, green peppers, and mozzarella cheese, starting at just $14. So next time you're in West Lafayette, hopefully it's Friday night for the basketball game, Stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener and viewer can also use the coupon code ONLINEBREAK5. That's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. It's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. I would have been wrong. I thought they would go with a Thanksgiving pizza.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, you got a few ingredients in there that you could have on Thanksgiving, I suppose. But yeah. So let's switch gears. Let's talk about some basketball. The 2024-2025 Boilermaker basketball season officially underway as the Boilermakers took care of the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Islanders last night to kick off the season. The game was a little close for comfort for a little while, but the Boilers did pull away in the end by a score 90-73. And Evan, like we said at the top of the podcast, you were in attendance, and I only got to watch about 7 or 8 minutes of the game. Yep. So leaning on you for the breakdown.
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously awesome to be back in Mackey. You know, seeing the Final Four banner unveiled was really cool. They didn't do the Big Ten championships. I wonder if they're, and it's not even up right now, at least last I looked, when I looked in my seat. So I wonder if they're going to maybe do that on Friday, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't see, because I was like, wait, did we win the Big Ten last year? Like, yeah, we won. We won the tournament.
One going away. Yeah.
But that was really cool. You know, they kind of redesigned all the other, you know, what few we have up there. But they kind of, now they all kind of have a nice uniform look, which looks really good, hopefully with plenty
of.
What did you think
of the size of it? My dad thought the banners were, all the Final Four banners are a little small for his liking, but.
They are, yeah. I thought they might have been a little bigger, but I mean.
That just tells me they're making plenty of room for them to add more.
So. Exactly, yep. That was really cool. So yeah, Mackey was primed and ready to go for a 6 o'clock start. You know, really good crowd. There was some empty seats kind of in top of the student section that I could see. But again, I mean, the first game of the season, 6 o'clock start. So I was like, I mean, sure, some kids might still even be like just getting out of class at that point. But it was abnormally warm in there because it was like 65 degrees outside and a little humid. So I think. I don't know if this is a cause, but there was quite a few instances where like guys were slipping on the court. And I wonder if maybe just the humidity, if that was causing
condensation
on the floor. Cause there was like, I feel like 3 or 4 plays in a row. Brayden had a play where he slipped because it caused a turnover and some other guys were going down. So I was a little worried about that for a while. No, but it was same starting lineup as the previous exhibition game where we saw Daniel Jacobson start at the 5 along with Trakoff and Ringe Carrier.
He's got such a baby face.
He does. It's crazy. For a 7'4" guy. Yeah.
He looks like he's got the face of like a 13-year-old.
I said, yeah, I was just in my head. I was like, man, I looked in like middle school trying to wear like the jerseys, but I wasn't 7'4" and 230 or 240 pounds.
Well, it's funny you say that, Webby, because he wears the t-shirt underneath.
Yeah.
You used to rock that too at one time. So right away, I'm like, that reminds me of Webby back in the day.
Yeah. If only I was 7'4". But yeah, I think it was pretty apparent that he's probably being the guy we're going to lean on probably more so at the 5. We're going to get a lot of growing pains with them as expected. I mean, if you think back to the 2020-2021 season, Zachy wasn't exactly a national player of the year at that point. Like he was a pretty unfinished product. But he shows a lot of flashes of just like, man, this kid's gonna be really, really good. The way
he's still 7'4", like you said,
it's still 7'4".
Even he is very talented. So I'm not saying he's not, but even if you're not very talented guy at 7'4", you're still good disrupt things on the defensive end. But he is a very talented 7'4".
Yeah, I mean, already blocking. I thought he has six. Well, the scoreboard, I thought I read somewhere someone said 3, but I was like, I swear, like the scoreboard said he had at least 4 at one point. But he's already, making a name for himself as a shot blocker, which is only going to help the defense, hopefully, of when he's in there, of like deterring guys, just kind of like how Zachy did, of just like not wanting to drive on him because of the potential to get your shot blocked. But as the game went on, it kind of, The offense looked a little kind of, you can tell like we're still trying to figure things out from an offensive side.
We'll be for a little while.
So we'll be for a little while. Please
be patient. Yeah. We're going to take some bumps in the non-conference.
What worries me about next Friday because of just how quickly that game's coming up.
Yeah, hopefully being at Mackey, it won't get ugly, but if it does, Alabama's a bunch of dudes. So
Yeah. And a lot of guys from last year's game who probably wanted that game really badly. Yeah, I mean, it was you know, Braden, you know, is obvious, like, it's just crazy how awesome he is. It's just like you can tell he wasn't even looking to score, which, you know, for this game, you probably think he didn't have to. So which just makes me excited for when he does know he has to score.
Yeah, he's so fun to watch. Everybody just enjoy him for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
we're not going to see a point guard like him come through the doors of Mackey in a long, long time.
Yeah. Trey started a little slow. He missed a couple bunnies that normally he makes. I'll just chalk it up to hopefully first game rustiness. Hopefully we see that improve on. But he got better as the game went on. I mean, big takeaway, Jakari Harris, CJ Cox. Oh, my goodness. Like, CJ was already, probably made himself already a crowd favorite just from, you know, forcing a shot clock violation, forcing a jump ball, just getting in the dude's shorts. It was really cool to watch.
He had 3 points in 11 minutes. Jakari had 5 points in 23 minutes, but he was a disruptor on defense from what I saw.
Yep.
But I did get a few text messages. Miles Colvin's got to be starting. I'm like, I don't know. He had 14 points in 17 minutes. That's impressive. But I like that spark plug off the bench.
I do too. I like that instant. Like I told you, I texted you guys, instant offense when he comes in. Yeah. Like, because he's not afraid to shoot. And also, I mean, if he wants to start, the way to do it is the reason Jakari's out there is because of his defense and his ball
and rebounding and maybe rebounding a little bit too.
Yeah. So if Miles, I mean, I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this to Miles if he's listening, but I'm pretty sure if you want to see the floor, offense is not the reason why you're not seeing the floor. Right. It's because of defense, ball handling. Now, I'm sure there'll be games where he'll get more run because we need the offense and maybe he's doing those things. He looked really good. He was awesome. He was definitely the reason why the lead ballooned to what it did at halftime, because it was getting a little slow there for a little bit as Painter was kind of working with lineups. But it was awesome to see him do that. He had that monstrous dunk that was started because of a defensive play, I think, by Jakari, I think. So that was just that brought the house down. Will Berg looked pretty good. I mean, he looked pretty good for what he had.
5 points in 8 minutes, made both of his shot attempts.
He was a good rebounder.
1 for 6 at the free throw line.
That was kind of what we've seen. And I mean, it's nothing new to Purdue. You know, the reason this game was close as it was turnovers and free throws. Which kind of led me back. It's like, man, this team could still be really, really good. It's as long as it doesn't beat itself. I mean, there's probably more teams this year as of right now that can just straight up beat Purdue, where last year it was probably one and we saw it in the last game of the season. If Purdue doesn't beat Purdue but Purdue, you know, they looked a little rough. You know, the disappointing thing was, I think 10 of them came from Braden and Trey combined, which is you don't want from two of your experienced starters. But again, I chalked that up to, I mean, Texas A&M was scrappy. They were.
Oh yes, they were. They played hard.
They got second in their conference last year behind McNeese, which was, you know, they won 30 games. So like
they've made the postseason of one sort or another 3 years in a row. So
yeah, I mean, obviously Steve Lutz, former Purdue assistant, he was a coach there a few years ago before going to West Kentucky, who's now at Oklahoma State. So they're a good team, and kind of what we saw going into the game, you know, they were 1 for 10 from three in the first half, but then they. Yeah, water finds its level. A combination of that, Purdue kind of going cold and continued turnovers that kind of let them get down into, I think at one point got down to a 4 or 3 point lead, but then Purdue.
I think it was four, got, yeah.
Yeah, but then kind of what Purdue did, I think it was right after I texted you guys, I saw a stat that like at that point, only 12 of Purdue's shots had come inside the arc. And then all of a sudden they started going down low and it started working. And, Daniel came back in and was blocking some shots, and they kind of won that game with some defense down the end. But overall, like, I got a little nervous at one point because I was just like, you know, shots weren't falling. They weren't looking good. Like Miles and Cam, when they're in their shots, almost like line drives. It wasn't their normal shots. It just looked off. But that was good for this team to kind of experience that, to know that, hey, like, this is obviously isn't last year. We don't have that safety net of the best player in college basketball 2 years in a row to kind of bail us out when we need him to. We kind of have to go find our shot. And I thought Braden, when he needed to, he kind of took over, got a shot. A player that I have loved for 2 years, I sometimes don't talk about because people like to rip on him, including maybe you and our other co-hosts, is Fletcher Lawyer. I freaking love that kid. He is so smart. I had
nothing to complain about last night.
No, he is so heady. But he's just going to be a little shit to people. Like, yep. Just with how he's able to drive at closeouts. And, like, he drew that one foul in the second half. I was like, that is such just, like, if I was an opposing team, I would just be so mad at that. Because it's just such a... I mean, it's a white player move, essentially. It's what a classically, you know, unathletic white guy move, like where he got it and he did it. Very JJ Redick of him, which was awesome. I was loving it. But his mid range, like where he pump fakes, they go by him, he takes a step in. It's just so pure. His shot looks so good. I'm so excited for him this year.
On his driving ability, nobody gives him enough credit. He can get
to and he's been doing that since a freshman. It's obviously He's put on some weight now, and I think he'll be able to handle it a lot more. But I think he definitely will be more of a scorer this year, not just a straight-up shooter. I thought Cam Heidi played really well with rebounding. A guy who
Purdue needs him to be a
he needs good him rebounder. To do that. I thought Caleb First for his limited minutes. I thought he played really well. He got a block.
2 points in 2 minutes.
Yep. He got a great it was a right-handed bank shot. Looked really good. But
he played the least amount of minutes out of the 11. Yes, you heard me right. 11 guys.
Yeah.
Who Purdue threw in there last night.
Yeah. I like Raleigh. I think we didn't see Raleigh Burgess do much out there. But you can tell he plays with a lot of energy. He's athletic. I think we'll see him, step out and shoot. But yeah, it's going to take some time until Painter figures out these lineups. I think it's still be a pretty good team. Like I said, I was kind of almost glad that we won, but looking back, I'm kind of glad that they had a close game, because now it gives Painter something to really rip on him about in practice, especially the turnovers alone is something that that's especially this year, not having Zach is going to be like, that's going to be games where we can just get our door blown off if we aren't careful, mixed with the missed free throws. Cause I don't think they missed a free throw all night.
They were 7 for 7.
Yeah. We obviously got them in foul trouble, which was good. So just goes to show that Purdue's still paying off the refs from last year.
I never got nervous, but like I said, I didn't get to watch a ton of the game. And even when it was tight, and like when I resumed watching, it was tight. I was never nervous we're gonna lose, but even in the back of my mind, I'm like, if we do happen to get upset, it's gonna suck, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
like I'm taking a totally different stance with this team, like don't feel the pressure anymore. Even though last year I did enjoy it, and you were a big reason, you kept reminding me to enjoy the process, and I did, but there was still a lot of pressure the last couple of years. And it feels like we don't have that this year. And it's kind of like, I don't know, just nice.
I think it's been fun because it's a chance for Purdue to show that there's so much more than Zach Edey. I mean, I think Painter even said in a quote recently, is like, we've won four of the last eight Big Ten championships, and Zach Edey was only part of two of those. Like, so it's like, it's not like we're just all of a sudden a good team. We've been a good team.
Right.
So it's a different play style. I know obviously last night was a lot more fast paced. So I'm excited to watch that. I think this offense has a chance to be electric, which is crazy considering last year's offense was a top 10 in KenPom. Defense obviously gonna be a work in progress, a lot more team defense for sure. But I mean, I was glad to be back, and a lot of new faces, and it should be a fun year.
Yeah, Northern Kentucky, the Norse coming into Mackey Friday night. That is Big Ten Network Plus. Yep. So pay your $10 if you want to get that, which there is the Saturday game against Marshall coming up in a few weeks. It's also Big Ten Plus. Mm-hmm. Having to sign. I'm telling myself I'm not going to do it, but I told myself that last year. And when it came to a Friday night, I did it. So we'll see. I'll report back next week.
But, Monday we have Yale.
The Norse we've had some history with. It took a missed bunny at the buzzer by them to beat them back in 2013 or 14. I think it was 14. And then Yale, of course, we met them in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago. We've met them other times too. But Yale's no slouch. They're a well-coached team. And then, of course, we'll talk about this game more on the podcast next week. But you're going to have top five Alabama coming in Mackey next Friday night on Peacock. So.
Yep.
So good luck getting your tickets if you want to and haven't done so already, because that's a high price on the secondary market.
Looking at to see if potentially, I mean, there's a chance that before next. So what's yeah, next Friday is the, what, the 15th? Yeah. 14, yeah. So Kansas has number 9, North Carolina. Is that, that is, that's awesome. It's in Allen Fieldhouse. That's awesome. A top 10 matchup, non-conference, is going to be that. And then they have Michigan State in the State Farm on Tuesday. So there's a chance that Kansas could drop one. And as long as Alabama doesn't drop one, they have Arkansas State and McNeese the next two games. Still, they're not losing. So at the worst, they'll probably be number 2. Going into Mackey.
Yeah, but it'll be one of the most anticipated game. Maybe you got to go back to 08 against Duke to find a bigger. I mean, Villanova coming in as defending champs was a big one.
Yeah.
Virginia the year after they beat us as defending champs was a big one, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
But from national exposure and you got the national championship runner-up team, another team made the Final Four, and two teams that had a hell of a game up in Canada last year.
Yeah.
A lot to like about that. So, yes, sir. So, any other thoughts before we put a bow on this week's pod?
It's a fun time of year typically with, basketball and football. Typically. Obviously leaning more towards basketball right now. Yeah. But obviously still going to support football team and excited to see kind of how basketball finds its footing in this new era of pretty basketball.
And I will say one more note about the football team. If Purdue pulls one of the biggest upsets in college football history on Saturday, Ryan Walters isn't going. If that happens to happen on Saturday,
yeah,
he's not going anywhere. But yeah, cross that bridge when it comes.
Yeah.
but we're already in November. Holidays are coming up.
It's crazy. Us
really quickly. I need to start my Christmas shopping. I don't know if you've already started, but if not, you probably start your Christmas shopping. But the good place we can start at is the shop.
Absolutely. The shop, they've been part of us for a few years now, but happy to have them back once again. Purdue owned. I actually have been neglected to say the last couple of times, but they are Purdue owned. So that's a huge thing for us. We like supporting, not only one good brands, but Purdue brand or good brands that are also Purdue owned and Purdue connected. They've got 3 retail locations, 1 in Broad Ripple, 1 in Carmel, 1 in downtown Indy. Stop in. They've got an immense selection of all things Indiana, whether it's colleges, pro sports, Indiana parks, like any 500.
They even got into the Taylor Swift craze.
They did.
Sold a lot of their merch. Yeah.
Indy Fever. That's going to be huge for them. It's awesome. Actually, they now start even selling like Ohio State stuff. So they've actually ventured outside of the Indiana border.
Big brand for them to get on board. I mean, at least it's cool. Ohio State let them. It's better than that school up north that doesn't let anybody do anything.
Yeah. But if you can't make it down to Indy and you want to maybe get a little discount, if you go to the shopindy.com, use promo code breakdown. That's all one word, all caps. You get 25% off your entire order.
It's time for me to put in an order. I've been waiting this season. Now that basketball's around, I need to get some new gear, maybe a few more long sleeves. So another hat. So yeah, it's time for me to get some gear, but can't go wrong with anything you get from the shop. Take advantage, like Evan said, breakdown for 25% off. Well, Webby, let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Norse, not get just obliterated by the Buckeyes, and then beat the Bulldogs until the next time we talk.
Yes, sir. Boiler up.